Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016 edition of the Sands and Storms and Us Stormcast. My name's Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Apple today not only released new hardware, but they also came up with new versions of the operating systems for their different products, starting with OS X. That's now El Capitan 10.11.4. A total of 59 vulnerabilities were patched. Probably the more interesting ones are vulnerabilities against Bluetooth and Wi-Fi that could lead to arbitrary code execution. Not clear if you have to be paired with a Bluetooth device here or if you have to be connected to a Wi-Fi network. Now, since the Wi-Fi bug does depend on a specific Ethernet type, I figure that you probably have to be connected to a Wi-Fi network, so it would be a little bit less severe than some of the, for example, overly long SSID bugs that can be exploited if you just try to scan for a network. Also, lots of open source bugs are being addressed, for example, libxml vulnerabilities and the roaming vulnerability in OpenSSH. Among the more higher profile vulnerabilities, there was a paper that was published a couple days ago about vulnerabilities in iMessage that could lead to the interception of images and other attachments. This is also fixed here. WatchOS, iOS, and tvOS also all got updates. The overlap with the Safari and the OS X updates here is substantial, so really not worth spending a lot of time on them. WebKit, of course, is one component, libxml, and then the Wi-Fi vulnerability affects all of these different devices. And then for those of you who are running OS X server, there's also a new version with three vulnerabilities being patched here. One prevents the administrator from storing backups insecurely. They're essentially just a better error message. Some of the old SL ciphers, RC4, for example, are being turned off now. And in the wiki, there are apparently some authentication bypass issues that are being addressed with this update. So the short summary here, patch your devices, not really much else you can do here. I would consider the OS X vulnerabilities probably the most critical ones here. I'm not sure if any of these vulnerabilities are vulnerabilities that were found in the Pwn to Own contest. Given that that contest happened last weekend, I highly doubt it. Now, there are some references where, for example, Trend Micro and the Saturday Initiative, which was also part of the Pwn to Own contest, are credited with the discovery of these vulnerabilities, but these may very well be older vulnerabilities here. And then we got an email earlier today from one of our readers who almost fell for ransomware. And it's an interesting little case study of why people fall for ransomware. You may have seen these emails where it tells you that you have to appear in court. Most of us delete these emails right away because, well, we don't have to appear in court. But this user actually had a court date on the date that was mentioned in the email, and that of course really made him want to look at the attachment. Now, looks like he got lucky and it didn't execute. It was one of those compressed JavaScript files. Now, I tested it a little bit. It then pulls down some crypto ransomware. It's actually not terribly easy to execute. Microsoft's Malware Defender actually did a good job blocking it in my case. Now, Steven, the reader that wrote in here, his antivirus tool on Windows 10 did actually not block this particular malware. And Certificate Authority Start SSL was vulnerable to a very classic web application vulnerability that would enable anybody to authenticate for any domain. The way Start SSL works is, well, like many certificate authorities, if you want to apply for an SSL certificate, you have to prove that you own that particular domain. And the way this is done is by essentially offering that a token is being sent to a number of email addresses being associated with that domain. In StartSSL's case, however, during that process, the email address was stored on the client, and then the client was able to manipulate that email address to point to whatever email address they would like it to point to. So with that, you could validate for any domain. Pretty classic flaw, has been fixed by now. And well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.